you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Welcome in, everyone. It is 8 p.m. on Thursday night, June 18th. I am Dave, that is Jim. We are one half of Keystone State Paranormal Society, and this is Penetrating the Veil, the one-hour internet radio broadcast. Welcome in, Holly Cataldo. Tonight, our other teammate, Haley, is going to call in just a few minutes, and we're going to discuss the investigation we had last weekend at the Twin City Opera House. As anyone who's ever really investigated knows, a lot of times you'll go into an investigation expecting one thing based on evidence collected by prior investigators and stories told about the location. And for whatever reason, be it team chemistry, intent, style, you may encounter something completely different than what you were expecting. And that was exactly the case at the Twin City Opera House, and this was in McConnellsville, Ohio, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm trying to adjust the camera here a little bit. Welcome in, Hetty, and welcome in my buddy Mike Lauk. We did three live sessions that night. All of them went very well. Some of the things that we were told were true as far as battery drain. That happened
a
lot.
That was very
The batteries for my Deadlight 60-watt Necro that I had used on tripod with my 4K camera to film the seating area of the Opera House went dead within 8-10 minutes of the actual investigation starting. I replaced them. A half hour later, they were dead again. I replaced them, and then they stayed on pretty much the rest of the night. We had a couple new things happen that we weren't expecting, but we're absolutely thrilled to capture. A lot of it was captured on the live feeds, such as my UV light for the camera that I had on tripod on the stage going off and coming back on command. Welcome in Colette and Marie. And I will say, for as long as Jim and I have been doing this, and Haley will attest to how things went when she calls in, that this was the most active place we've ever been as far as audibly hearing with the naked ear disembodied voices. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, all three of us experienced, sometimes we both heard it, or there were more than one, but we all experienced a number of disembodied voices very clearly and pretty loud, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
because the one that both Haley and I heard, we were up on the stage. You heard it from the back of the seating area. So
now, the acoustics in this is an opera house, so they're exceptional. And we were, in reflection, that probably had a big hand in our being able to pick it up so well.
Right.
And then both Haley and I, we saw a lot of faces with our
eyes. Right off your peripheral.
Right off the peripheral. Saw a lot of shadow people, but we saw faces. I saw at least three or four different faces of spirits, and they were there for a second, and they're gone type of thing. And I think Haley and I, the one time, actually saw the same
Up in the balcony.
Up in the balcony area.
We had the most active part of the night was the very last session, and if you haven't had a chance, go back on our page and watch that third session. We were up in the catwalk area where the spirit of Elizabeth, the 10-year-old girl who died in the Opera House with scarlet fever, welcome in, Eric, Julian, where her spirit is said to reside. It was her and another young girl by the name of Sarah, who I think was, what they say, 15, 16?
She
was more of a teenager, maybe like babysitter age. But they were going crazy. Welcome in, Michelle Williams. They were going crazy with the music box and the REM pod. And they each had their particular likes. And we actually questioned them individually during the live feed and said, you know, Elizabeth, light up the instrument that you enjoy the most, and the music box will go off. And then we asked the same of Sarah, and the REM pod went off. Welcome in, Frank. And, but, I mean, it was a good 15, 20 minutes that they were both going on, just back and forth simultaneously. It's constant activity. It was fantastic. They really enjoyed those things.
Yeah, and then we're running the Phasma box, and we're having laughing.
Yeah.
The girls
yeah.
are all laughing and having a good old time with it.
We had an incident in the second live feed up in the balcony of the seating area where we engaged Spirit about a bag of popcorn, and they wanted some, so we put the empty bag on the arm of one of the seats.
Right.
And I just sat there and filmed and held my head away like this. So I wasn't even looking at it. I just caught out of the corner of my eye of the live feed, and we had it knocked the bag over for us. So then we said, well, when we come back, we'll bring you a full bag, and it knocked it over again. And then just before we turned off the Phasma box for that session, the last voice that came through said, Jim?
Said, well, we asked it if we wanted to bring more.
Yeah, what was the last thing it said just before we shut off the Phasma box?
Yeah.
Don't forget the popcorn.
Don't forget the popcorn.
So it was definitely intelligent interaction there. Something we had never seen before as well in the first live feed was down in the sub-basement where supposedly a dark or negative energy was residing. We didn't feel any of that at all. At no point did we feel unsafe or afraid.
The hostess was even telling us, she really avoids that area. She didn't like it at all.
We never had any issue. We got, at one point, our GS2 laser grid system, which had just come back from repair, that thing went apeshit, and the display that tells you where in the laser grid field it's being interrupted, the whole display lit up, as in to say everywhere in that laser grid is being interrupted. And then so we put the old-fashioned laser grid system, the old green dot system, on a tripod in the far back of it, and at one point Haley asked if they could dim the lights on that, and sure enough it did, and then she asked it to turn it off completely, and it did. And I can vouch that it was not a battery issue because as soon as they turned it off from their side, I clicked the button, turn it off, and then I clicked the button, turn it back on, and it came right back on full force. A few minutes later, I had to change the battery. But the first time it went out, it was all because of Spirit. And we hadn't, not that we haven't seen things get shut off like that, but that was the first time we saw it do the laser system, the laser grid.
It was almost like if you worked the flashlights and you ask them, but here it turned off the entire grid system, which is pretty neat.
Yep. So, like I said, it was nothing what we expected. We were expecting a lot of negative interaction from, you know, just from the stories that we had heard. And we got none of that. We got a lot of positive things. The only issue you're going to have there if you ever decide to go and investigate that place is the acoustics. The way that theater is designed, the acoustics are so perfect that there's really no way you can have a split team, some people here in the theater and some people in a different area, because you're going to get horrible bleed-through. We encountered that all night. We try to do with Jim Haley and myself in one area, and Rob and Nikki of Live Paranormal in the other area, and all we could hear was them, and all they could hear was us, because the acoustics and the ventilation system just made it so bad audio bleed through. So if you're going to do that place, it's a fantastic place. I would recommend getting an investigation in. The time frame for the price is very fair. It's got great history.
And
the host was very nice, very knowledgeable.
He had open access to everything,
yeah.
Really.
But I would advise keeping it to a group between five to six.
And work as a single
and have one group. Everybody's here and then everybody's there, because if you try and split up, you're going to bleed through and kill each other's audio. The cool thing was, we noticed when we first pulled up and we all got out of the truck, Jim and Haley immediately noticed the statue on the roundabout behind us. I immediately looked across the street to which was the city hall, basically, for the town, with this beautiful giant clock tower. And the first thing I said was, there's something over there. I'd like to go check that place out. And sure enough, the hostess wound up telling us that there is indeed energies over in that building as well. So the next time we go, we're going to see if it's possible to do a two-nighter, where we do one night at the Opera House, another night at the Town Hall building across the street. The irony of the statue, however, was Haley said she smelled gunpowder. And the statue that's there is to represent the 73rd Ohio Volunteers who served in the Civil War. They were at Gettysburg.
And the granite stone pedestal
that the statue sits on was from the battlefields of Gettysburg. It was actually boated up the river all the way to the closest port and then transported to the town where they made it a pedestal for the statue. Welcome in, Jenny. So maybe the gunpowder that Haley was smelling was residual energies left from the Battle of Gettysburg, since that's where that pedestal was from. And what type of stone was it?
Granite. Yeah.
So it was little things like that we were picking up on, and they just wound up working out and all coming into one. Welcome in, Jim Houston. Jim has worked up two audio files.
Barely scratched.
He's got so much work he's doing from his side jobs. I've been having a bad week, pain-wise.
It hadn't been a good week for you.
No, but we're doing what we can. So he's got two audio files that we'll play once Miss Haley calls in, which should be any minute now.
Now, also, Saturday, are we doing a live feed from the Lookout House?
Yes, we will be.
So we will be doing a live feed Saturday. We're having Paranormal Inc., and they have a number of people, and Lloyd Johnson's going to be there.
Lloyd Johnson's going to be there from noon on doing readings, so lots of things going on over at the Lookout House. Pardon me. And I think July 11th, they've set a date for an event over the Lookout House where it's just going to be all table tipping. And
we have Bobby Robinson. Bobby Robinson.
Who was Pam and Steve's friend from Lilydale, who originally told them about the table tipping, will be there on site on the 11th. So we're going to be over there. We'd really like to meet her. We think it's going to be a good time as well. So
yeah, we got to meet her last night on their show, and just a delightful lady and a real source, a lot of information and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we had
there's Haley.
The device we just got back in time.
The GS2.
The GS2 was fantastic. Really did a great job on Saturday.
Welcome in, Dave Sauter. Hey, yeah, Jenny, that is open to anyone.
The music box.
I believe you get in touch with Pam, and she'll let you know about how many people she's allowing in for that. Hey, Haley, how are you?
Hey guys, good. Sorry I'm a little late. I'm out in my garden as usual.
That's okay. We know you're out there staying busy, trying to stay away from the itchy stuff, hopefully.
Yeah. Luckily, none of that is in my yard. So,
that's good.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
So we were just telling everybody about the Opera House over the weekend and how, as far as the amount of voices that we heard audibly with the naked ear, that's probably the most we've ever had at one time.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. Now, of course, we had the bleed through because it's so acoustic. But past that, there was definitely, you could hear spirit. And I'm not sure whether that's the location, whether it reflects, you know, the haunting per se, or that combined with the building. Do you know what I mean? Like the acoustics of the building. I'd be interested to see if other haunted locations that are built just that well to carry sound also has that occurrence. Do you know what I mean?
Well, see, yeah, and Jim and I were both speculating. We both think personally that that the acoustics of the building played a lot in that, you know, because
yeah. It
wasn't just all of us when we were together. Like, you and I were on the stage and heard the woman from behind the back curtain. Well, Jim also
right. Heard
that, and he was sitting at the very back of the theater, you know. So
I
personally, Jim agrees that the acoustics of the place definitely made that a lot easier for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we said that it was the first time that we had ever had spirit engage us, not so much with the flashlights, with the on and off flashlights, but the dimming and then the shutting off of the laser grid.
Yeah, that was actually really cool. That was really cool because it's not, I have a laser grid that I take, and some laser grids do that when the battery is going, well, they all do it when the battery is going low, but some of them tend to do it quicker. The one that I have tends to kind of play around sometimes and do that. The one that you guys were using is, like, way superior to the laser grid that I have, and there's no reason. There's no logical reason I can think of why it would do that, and especially on cue. I've
right. Personally
never been around a spirit that shut off a laser grid. It's not like a twist mag. To turn that off
right. Is
an actual button.
It's a click in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? And it just drained it. And the thing is that
yeah.
we had heard that place was notorious for draining batteries, but to have them actually do it on command, it
right.
just showed immense power. That was the power that it took for them to do that. I mean, obviously, they know how to do it. They've been doing it to other people, but to have it on command, that was just awesome. That was a cool moment.
Well, and the other cool part about it was once I took it away, I clicked it off and clicked it again, and it came back on full force.
Yeah.
But I replaced the batteries anyway, but...
Right.
So they did... It wasn't like the batteries just died. They drained them to
yep.
display
yep.
what we asked them to display on cue, and then when they were done, they gave that energy back because I could turn it right back on, and it worked just fine. But I didn't want to take
it
a chance.
Awesome.
And then, of course, they did it again up on the stage with that bright pink UV light.
Yeah.
Where they turned
yeah.
that back on again. So.
And I have to say about the sub basement. Now I know we've discussed the notorious, if you will, Charlie. I'm not sure if he wasn't there at the time. If maybe we didn't seem to annoy him per se. Or if, you know, he's just misunderstood, because I didn't get any sort of feeling of negativity down there. I didn't get anything like that I would have to put my guard up or, be super cognizant of my surroundings, anything like that. They were actually very cooperative, I found.
Yeah, we didn't pick up any negative juju or, if you will, whatsoever. Now, again, Charlie may have moved on, or maybe our chemistry didn't threaten him in that way, so he didn't act
right.
that way, or maybe he just never does, and the people who have taken it that way maybe just didn't understand it, you know? Could be
right, and that's a common occurrence, yeah.
So, yeah,
well,
but, I mean,
that was a tunnel.
Definitely shadow play.
Sorry.
Because I saw it back in the back corner with the green laser grid. I'm still trying to – I actually went through the live feed from down there trying to find the knocking on the pipes that you had talked about, but I haven't found it yet, so.
I actually listened. I re-listened to all the live feeds. I like to do that to see if there's anything that we may have missed. That was picked up, EVP or anything like that. And I could barely hear the knocking when it happened. Now, because I was there, I know exactly when I heard it. And I had to put on headphones in order to actually be able to hear it. It's very faint, but you can actually pick out that it's like a very high pitch. That pipe had a very high pitch ting to it. And it wasn't
right.
as loud on the live feed is when you went back and physically hit it, but
right.
you could pick up, and it was twice in a row. It was two tings. It was like a ting and then a pause and then another ting that I heard. You have to put headphones on, like pretty good ones, and then you can barely pick it up. But when I was there in person, it was very clear. It was super clear. Of course, I was sitting right there, and it wasn't quite as loud as a human, you know, physically hitting it, but it definitely was there, and I don't know who did that. Whoever it was didn't approach me or give me any information on them. I didn't see them, didn't hear them, other than that noise. So I don't know who that was. I do think that there were several spirits down there with us, some from the other floors, some even from the actual property itself, which
right.
may also explain the lack of Charlie, per se, while we were there, because I feel like the spirits there are also connected, just as the buildings are via that tunnel system. I
right.
feel they're connected to other buildings. Especially the one that you picked up on as soon as you saw it,
the town hall
next door, that big, yeah, the town hall. And I believe that tunnel that the pipe thing happened in, that's the one that led to the town hall, correct?
Honestly, I don't know. I'd have
it.
To look into that.
There used to be a boarding or some kind of place with rooms, supposedly, is what she had told us. You're talking about straight back from in the basement. Like,
that far back area.
Yeah,
she had told us
that the building, the housing building was actually that foundation that we were in. That's supposedly what had burned down, is what I understood it, because they said there was rumors that it was a hotel, it was like Brewster's or something, hotel,
right.
and she said there was
right.
no such thing as a hotel. However, that building that is now the theater was a sort of like a boarding home type situation. So that was building we were in.
If in my head I'm walking through and doing it, where those tunnel doors would be should be coming towards the front of the building. So it's entirely possible that they came out towards the front of the building and then one branched off one way and one branched off the other way. And if the one to the left of that shorter area back there where we were with the green laser grid, the one on the left-hand mm-hmm. side, if that had gone straight out and then branched to the left, that would have led directly to the town hall across the street. If they had just gone straight, they would have both went right underneath the statue in the roundabout.
That's what I was wondering. And, I mean, that's another thing, which is not actually Well, it's related. I think, like, I think that whole square is related spiritually.
It
yeah,
is.
With the spirit.
No, I'm with you on that, Haley. Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The actual monument itself took me off guard.
There's too many things that connected. Like, you smelled the gunpowder. Well, the granite base for the statue was from the battlefields of Gettysburg. You know,
that freaked me out because I was like, I got chills again when you were talking about it. Because as soon as I got out of the car, I was like, Jim, do you smell that? And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what goes on in this town. I don't know if that's, you know, maybe there's something nearby that I would be picking up a whiff of that from the air. But it was a very familiar feeling, and that's the exact smell that I remember on my fifth grade field trip to Gettysburg I smelled. And I wasn't really sure what that was back then. But it was just so familiar to me. And I even walked over there with the, I guess she's the owner of the theater. At one point when we were taking a break, I walked over there and I'm like, what is up with this
statue?
No, that, like,
that's just
what
the
is
host.
It?
Just the
okay,
host.
The host.
Yeah. Yep. So Jim has worked up two audio files so far from everything
awesome.
We had. Let me go ahead and play those and see what we've got here.
I just got to them a little while before the show, so I haven't had really any spare time, but I just wanted to try to get a couple.
All right, here's the first one. So you hear me in the background saying, would you like us to get you some more popcorn? And I'm hearing that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll play that one again. So, yeah. So that'd be great.
Do it on the bread.
So that was the first one, but that beginning was dead on, man. Would you like us to get you some more confidence? So that's great.
And it confirmed
and, you know,
what we all felt on scene. You know?
And how funny it was just before we shut the Fazer box off and said, don't forget the popcorn.
Yeah, yeah. It
was
they were talking about the popcorn. At one point, we had asked, like, what color the bag was or something like that. I had asked them, what color is the bag? And Jim was over at the Phasma, and we all heard the word corn. I'm not sure if Pop was in front of that or not, but it was clearly they said corn.
Mm-hmm. All right, and here's the second one.
Yeah.
First, I thought it said the second one said something about here, but now I'm hearing something different now.
Yes, you showed the people. Where they sat.
See now, right there, I'm hearing, thanks, you.
You have a T or what?
Thanks, you. Now, see at the end? That one to me, it sounds like you got to piss off. That's just my own. I'm an idiot like that, so. But yeah, I mean, that's just the first two, and he hasn't really had time to get much into them at all, so.
Yeah, I want to really get on that with the girls, with Sarah and Elizabeth, and you guys playing. That was really amazing.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I don't think we were the only two there. I think we did confirm that somehow. I'm not sure whether it was with the music box or not, but there was a third spirit there.
Yep. It was an adult spirit.
Yeah, but it never gave a name and never told if it was male or female.
Nope.
Right.
Now I do know that when we first got in, I kind of did my wandering around a bit, and there was, and I'm not saying it was the same spirit, but there was a male up in the middle of the catwalk area, like in the section that connects that side to the side that you go up on. There was definitely a male up there. Didn't feel like the usher. I'm not sure who he was. He didn't feel very interactive to me. It was more like he was watching very intently, making sure, you know, he was feeling us out to make sure we weren't a threat. He was, like, protective of that area or himself.
That could have been the marshal that was shot right outside the back door in the alley.
It could have been. Now, I did feel him. Not him per se, as like he was there, but I could feel his residual energy from that area. I sort of think it's a different male. I think the one that was up there was connected to the theater, like inside the theater, whether that be, you know, before it burnt down or after, I'm not sure.
Maybe it was Everett.
It could have been. It very well could have been. And I know at one point when we were up in the, I wanted to get a hold of you guys, and I completely forgot until now. But when we were up in the gallery, which every time somebody said the balcony, I kept hearing in my ear gallery, like they were correcting us. So you
right.
might hear me on the audio say the gallery. I know when we were up there, I felt a woman who I believe would have died there, but she was in attendance. She would have been in the seat somewhere. You know, she was there for a show. I'm not sure what time period that would have been, but I did feel a woman who passed there. And I was going to ask you guys to reach out to the host and see if she knew of anything like that, if there was one of the patrons.
On the website, they do have a photo of what appears to be a figure sitting in the front row of that top, the gallery.
Really?
The front row, you know, the end seat where we had the bag of popcorn?
Mm-hmm.
The seat right next to it, the second one in.
Really? Wow.
Yep,
I was not aware of that. That's freaking awesome. I know that when I first, if you rewatch the live feed, when I first put the popcorn bag up, it was like right where I had been kind of sitting while you and Jim were downstairs. I was up there sitting just, you know, checking it out. And also I was up there sitting eating popcorn facing the stage thinking, hey, maybe this will sort of act as a trigger object as me as, like, an audience member. Also just kind of looking
Victoria
around, seeing if I could feel anything out. Right. And
maybe Victoria to come on stage because she had an audience.
Right. Well, I was hoping somebody would. And I could feel someone standing behind me. They would walk behind me. I think that may have been the usher. He would walk behind me every once in a while, but then he would go downstairs. And then he would come back up. Now, what I did, right where I was sitting is where we have the music box and the Mr. D device. And when I first set up the popcorn, I had set up the bag right in front of it, and you can hear me on live. And after I set it up, I'm like, no, because I said they're not here. And I immediately went over to that other side of the stage, or the other side of the gallery, and sat it up in that spot. And that's sort of funny to me how perhaps, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but spirit often works like that, that perhaps I was somehow being led to that spot.
That would be my guess, yeah. They were telling you, no, we don't like that side. We always sit over here. If you're going to put it down, put it over here. That would make absolute
sense. Which is weird,
sense.
Because the energy from the stage is on the opposite side. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yep. Stage left, stage right, yep. Now, at least for me, the most enjoyable part of it was when the two young girls, the 10-year-old Elizabeth, and I think it was 15 or 16-year-old Sarah,
like 12 to 14, but go ahead.
Okay. We're going crazy on the equipment up in that catwalk, that side area on the catwalk, and how they were identifying themselves by which piece of equipment. When we asked Elizabeth, which do you like, and she went crazy in the music box. And then we asked her to stop, and she did. And then we asked Sarah, and she set off the REM pod, and then asked her to stop, and she did. And they were, it was at least 15 to 20 minutes of just solid activity on those. And that blew me away, you know.
Well, and it hadn't done it. The music box and the REM pod hadn't really been active anywhere else in the building that night.
We have, I think, one or two quick hits.
Yeah.
On the REM pod down in the sub-basement.
Nothing like, I mean, that was, the music box literally wouldn't shut off.
Oh, and to get back to the gallery up there, remember we had a solo X on each side, and those, like, what would have been, I guess, windowsill type of things?
Yeah.
The one that was on the same side as where we had the popcorn bag, I pulled all the cards yesterday morning and was downloading them on my computer so I can review them. The one that was on the right side, on the same side as the upstairs, that one, which was farther away from those seats, that one recorded fine. The one that was closer on the same as what was the downstairs, nothing on it. Not a single order. Nothing.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Didn't want to be recorded.
But we did. We would have still been able to catch all of that angle from the other solo acts because we sort of had them sat up to face each other, but to catch, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To catch the whole thing. So we still got, well, we, obviously you wouldn't be able to see the bag as clearly, but you can see that area with the other solo acts, correct?
It's just not as clear, and it's a lot smaller because of the distance, and it's a little bit darker because the lights, the IR illumination from that solo X doesn't reach that far.
Right.
So, I'm sure if there's going to be anything there, we caught it. Whether we can actually make it out enough to see it clearly is a completely different thing. But I just thought it was to me, personally, to me, that verifies that something was there and something's going on in those seats because even though you saw that red light flashing, it was recording. And it was recording when I went up and got it. And nothing, not a single file. Not even a file of me hitting record and walking away, nothing.
That's like the Keeley, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that is very interesting, because even on the live feed, you can see both solo X's are working. Both of them are on.
Yep.
You can see the light from both of them. I was there. I helped you set that up because I remember when we put it there, put both of them there, it was to get a clean sweep of the entire area, the entire upstairs gallery, and part is the back where the usher may be walking in that back door that leads up to the ballroom.
My other question I wanted to ask you, since you were up in the ballroom with me setting those cameras up, do you recall any signs of an owl?
An owl?
Yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
We heard something up there behind those, like, storage boxes.
Right.
When you come up the stairs, I know we heard something up there. I did not hear or see an owl. I saw no feathers. I saw nothing that would necessarily make me think that there was an owl. Lots of dead birds.
Right.
I would think if there was an owl, I would have seen, you know, mice or something that would have drug in, bones at least, bits of something.
If there was an owl up there, I don't think the bats would have been hanging around, right? Because wouldn't they be competing, wouldn't they?
I don't know, but if there was an owl up there, I would not expect to find the amount of birds that just look like they dropped dead.
And
that one that had a head off. Now, the only one that looked like it may have had a trauma of any sort was the one that its one wing was laying a couple inches away from it, and its head was nowhere to be found. But the other ones literally, and the weird thing about them was that all of the other birds were up there.
In flight and just dropped dead.
Not cloudy. Like, I know that sounds weird, but I've been around enough dead animals to know that the eyes cloud up. And they were just like, they were still sort of in rigor, but their eyes weren't cloudy. And they all looked like they just literally dropped dead out of the air and just laid.
Right.
It was
okay,
very bizarre.
The reason I ask is I started to review some of the video files from the Solo X's up there. I only got a couple files in, but on one of them I hear something, and it's very clear and it's very prevalent. I mean, I wouldn't say it's loud, but you don't need headphones to hear it, and you don't need to have your sound jacked up to hear it. And at first I looked at Jim and I said, that sounds like an owl, but we were both up there. We saw bats. We saw the dead birds. But we didn't see any evidence that an owl was nesting anywhere up there. So at some point I'll have to get it to you so you can hear it and see what you think. At this point, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure because I remember checking out the windows, sort of looking for the area in which the birds would have entered. And I couldn't even really imagine the birds coming through those. Now, there was one entire side that we couldn't really see because of the storage boxes, and I didn't want to walk back there. It just felt off limits to me. So perhaps there was, you know, an opening in the window back there. But I remember looking around thinking, okay, I know that this was padlocked when we came up, and I know that going up to the where the bell tower would have been was also padlocked. So there would have been no way for them to come down up there, and there would have been no way for them to come up from down there.
The bell tower wasn't, you remember, because we peeked up, and it was just nothing but bats and guano. So we didn't, and the steps were really kind of rickety, so we didn't venture.
I wasn't going up there. We actually saw that.
I put my head into that back area, and it was all just kind of ductwork and stuff, and it didn't look like it didn't look like anything back there, again, that would identify any semblance of an owl nest or anything. So, I mean, at some point you'll have to be able to hear that and see what you think. But it's very prevalent. So that could call
definitely.
Me up. What I want to do when I get more time, and you know I'm not half asleep, is to look for the exact same time frame on the other camera and see if they both picked it up.
Oh, that's a good idea. I mean,
because
it very well could be an owl, or it could be something else. you know, I'm not sure.
That's
It'll be interesting to actually hear the audio.
If they both pick them up, the odds of it being an owl are they go up. You know, it's not guaranteed,
right.
but they go up. If only one side picks it up, then that says the chance of it being an owl go down because it was loud enough that both cameras should have picked it up.
Yeah.
And if
only
one does, then that tells me that's something more of a supernatural.
Right. And here's the thing is that area, and again, I'm not saying, you know, it was spirit or it wasn't, but that area would have been very prevalent with Native Americans. And they would have revered any animal, especially, you know, one as powerful and wise as an owl. So that could be, you know, you never know if it does sound after you review it, like it could be an EVP. It could easily be something like that.
It could be a spirit owl, you know.
It could be a spirit owl. I mean, who knows? Maybe there was an owl up there and somebody killed it, like, you know.
Right. As I remember, and also I did get just a couple minutes in to the 4K camera files, and at the 18:15 mark of the 4K camera, I can hear, I can't make out who it is, but I can hear people talking in the background. I don't know if it's me or Jim or Rob, but I definitely hear a man's voice kind of in the background talking. But just behind that, I picked up a laugh, and I played it for Jim.
Yeah.
And I know my laugh, I've heard Jim laugh, I've heard Rob's laugh. It is none of us.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
it's definitely a laugh that does not belong to any of the males that were there that night.
Will we be able to isolate that as an audio clip?
Probably. At minimum, what I know I can do is put that film clip into my software and cut just that section out.
Okay.
I know I'll be able to do that, and that's one of the things I would be because it's definitely there, it's definitely audible, and it's definitely not any of us. So
yeah, that's really I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yes, and it's I wouldn't say it's creepy laugh, but it was a hearty laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Not a laugh that if I heard in the dark by myself, I would be like, yeah, I got to get out of here. But it was a laugh that I'm. Okay, somebody's enjoying themselves, you know. So
right, and there are multiple male spirits there, so that'll be really interesting to hear. What area was that from? Do you remember?
The 4K, which was set up on the back right side of the seating area. So you know where you know how when you came in the middle, you went to the left all the way, and it was a boys' room.
Uh-huh.
You went to the girls all the way, and the left, right all the way, and it was a girls' bathroom. It was set up over on the side by the girls' bathroom, right behind the last row of seats, and it was facing center stage, so it can encompass basically the entire seating area.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Now, what I've gotten, I still haven't gotten to most of the video clips, and I want to pull the card from the other camera that was up on stage. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see anything from that. For some reason, every time I looked in there, all I saw was dark, even though it was a full-spectrum camera and I had full-spectrum lights lit up. It was almost like lens cap was on or something. I don't know, which I know it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it was recording, and I want to see if that one picked up the female voice that you and I both heard from behind that back curtain.
Yeah. I couldn't make out what she was saying, but it sounded like there was a woman back there talking.
Well, it wasn't a long, drawn-out thing. It was something quick, like, hey there, something like that. But it just happened so fast, I couldn't make out what it was. But I got the definite feeling that the female who said that, whether it was Victoria or not, the female that was talking to us there was the same one that was making that light go on and off on command on stage.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. I agree with that.
So overall, you know, again, what we were telling everybody was fantastic place, definitely active, but don't take a group mm-hmm. bigger than five or six, and don't try and split your group up. Everybody's got to be in the same place at the same time, or you're just going to wreck your audio, and we found that out the hard
yep.
way.
Yes.
But overall, I think it was very, very, very good investigation. I think we got a lot of good stuff, and I would go back. I would absolutely go back, especially if we could do a two-nighter where we do one night there and one night at the town hall across the street.
Mm-hmm.
If you could pick one thing that happened that night, what was it for you that really just put the nail in the coffin in and made you glad that you were able to make it? Because I know it for a long time you're up there because of, you know, the stuff you had going on with the poison ivy and everything. What was
right.
it that happened that you were like, I'm so glad I did this?
For me, it wasn't one specific event. It was more the culmination of it. The energy of the location, I think, because it's so many spirits there, and we just kept having, there wasn't one session that we had that was sort of like a dud session. You know what I mean?
Right.
There wasn't one place that we picked that didn't have energy. And that's,
yeah.
I like places like that because you really can't go wrong anywhere. I will have to add to your going back and not having two groups. I think it would be awesome if we could secure the town hall to take two groups, have one in the theater and have one in the town hall and see if we can't get, you know, the spirits talking to both or maybe perhaps about what's going on in the other building. Because I do think that they're going one place to the other. Perhaps there's spirits like the usher. He may be in the theater all the time, but there are definitely others, and some of them feel older than the theater. There are
right.
definitely others that come and go between, really in that whole square. And the person who shot himself in, yeah, well, the person who shot himself in the town hall, he comes and goes to the theater.
Right.
I know that. I can feel him coming and going from the theater. I'm not sure why he does that. I don't know if it's the connection with the gun, which was, you know, used to kill the, I believe it was, I don't know if it was a sheriff or a constable outside
Marshall.
Of the theater. Okay, Marshall. But I'm not sure if that's the connection or what it is. But I could feel him when we were up on the second level in, like, the sort of office building, like the office room, I could feel his energy up there, and I was being drawn to, like, one of those rooms. I didn't go in because it was obviously they're set up as offices, but I was being drawn to one of them, and I'd be interested to see if that was actually the direction of the town hall. I don't really have my bearings about that place.
Oh, that would have been the
office.
Like, well, I don't know.
Him.
When we went into that second level where the old town hall was, that second level, the back right was where that display case was, and they had
mm-hmm.
the picture of Everett, and there was a door right there that you were drawn to, but that was closed. But to the left,
the other side, the one that you could see
room.
In that was the office.
Right. And that side where the stairs were up to the ballroom and the open office door, that would have been the side facing the new town hall.
Okay. That's the room that I was feeling from the opposite corner of it. The room number two, office number two, that's on the other side, I was
right.
feeling a man in there as well, but it wasn't the same guy. I don't know who that was. I didn't go in. We didn't open the door. We're not going to, you know, we respect a
right.
location enough to know that if a door is shut, heck, we didn't even go in the office. The open one. I remember looking in and being drawn to go in, but it was obviously clearly set up as a modern office. There was even a mask on the desk. So I'm like, I'm not going in there. You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep, yep. But, yeah, again, overall, I thought it went very well. And especially if we can keep the group smaller and intact together in the same place, I would absolutely go back.
Oh, yes.
Especially if we
Definitely.
Can get the town hall across the street.
Yeah, that I would really – I'm. You know what? I'm I'm tempted to say that the town hall might actually be a little bit more active in certain ways at times. I'm not sure if it would be as positive all the time as the interaction that we had at the theater. I'm not sure why. But like I said, that's why I brought up, hey, Charlie may have been over there, because when we were there, I was just, the energy was completely different coming from that building than the one
yeah.
we were in. Completely different,
yeah.
but similar at the same time, that it would be connected.
Right, right. Okay, well, we appreciate you calling in tonight, and I, like I said, I think it felt really good for all of us to get out, the whole team to get out, well, not the whole team, but the whole team that's usually there physically, to get out, enjoy it, and make contact with spirit. It paid off for us physically, and just, you know, it's like a morale booster to get back out into the field.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me, and I'll be honest with you guys, I love when it's the three of us on investigation. It just, the chemistry's there, you know, it's just on point. It never fails. I've never been disappointed.
Right. Okay, well, we'll let you go. We got about 3 minutes left on the show. Be prepared, because after you get off, Jim's going to call you back. You wanted to have that conversation with him. So we appreciate it, and hopefully hear from you soon.
Okay. All right, talk to you later, guys.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so that was teammate Haley Eisenhart. Up until the day before, she wasn't sure if she was going to be able to go. She had been fighting Poison Ivy and Oak, and she has now she knows she has an aversion to prednisone, which is what they had her on. So she wasn't even sure she's going to be able to make it, but I think it's better for the team as a whole that she was, and we all had a good time, and Spirit did not disappoint. So we'll continue to work on all the data files that we have, both audio and video, and anything we get will be posted to our Facebook page. If it's video, any good videos, that will go to not only our Facebook page, but our website and our YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget, we will have live feeds from the Lookout House Saturday when we do our investigation there with Paranormal Inc. and Lori Johnson. And next week is the two-hour show, Doorway to the Dead. As of right now, we do not have a guest, but we have two that we're trying to get a hold of. So hopefully it's either one of the two. Either we're going to get Sheeta Noir back to talk about the cryptids, or maybe we might have Steve Hummel, who's going to talk about his Haunted Relic Expo that is happening next month, the weekend before the bash, that he's asked us to be guests at. So hopefully one of the two will be on. Till then, everybody stay safe, have a good weekend, and watch for the live feeds on Saturday from the Lookout House. Have a good evening.